Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today, 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific. You know, there are many children who struggle with reading. Georgia Hunter is an award-winning children's author, and she hopes her books help turn their struggle of dread of reading into a joyous experience. Georgia has written 3 YA novels, Yubi and the Blue-Tailed Rat. It's a sequel to Yubi and the Good Dog of Tangamad and Tabi, which is a story about a cat in search of a home. Georgia pays careful attention to vocabulary, sentence length, and complexity of story. She has also written and illustrated 2 picture books, Little African Bear and Little Horseshoes. Georgia says of her first illustrated book, Lucky Horseshoes, she loves animals. She always seems to give a wonderful story. Her husband and young son live on a farm in Medicine Hat, Alberta, where a young Belgian filly, Maggie, was born. And she was lucky to survive the first day of her life, and from her experience came the book. Georgia's writing is also influenced by her travels to beautiful and exotic places, the Lavender Hills of Croatia and silk manufacturing of South Africa, Morocco, and the history of trade in the Caribbean. Even as a child, Georgia was talented as an artist, and that talent guided her really towards a degree in art education. She taught for the Vancouver School Board as well. Still in her private house or private hours, she always is creating and working in a variety of media. And her bronze sculptures are in collections in England and the U.S. and Canada as well. She says she just seems to need to try every avenue to express her creativity. It's a way to express emotions, and all the work is threaded with something truthful from her life. GeorgiaHunterBooks.com is the website where you can find out more about her books and the wonderful works. That's GeorgiaHunterBooks.com. Let's welcome Georgia Hunter to Close Up Radio for this exclusive one-on-one conversation for the next 30 minutes. She's live and direct from beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Welcome to the show, Georgia. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. It certainly is a pleasure for me. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to have an interview with you. And thank you for the nice introduction.
My pleasure, my pleasure. I love this conversation, and it's really a wonderful opportunity to chat with you. So thank you so much for joining us. And again, I look forward to sharing this further because it's a fascinating conversation. As I mentioned, the work that you do is wonderful. You know, before we talk about your books, you have worked in other media. You were originally somebody who worked in sculpture. Tell us about your discovery of your creativity and your commitment to it, some of those inspirations for you in the world of the arts.
Well, I'm not quite sure that I ever really discovered my creativity because even as a child, I was creative. I was always able to draw. And, of course, I used pencils and crayons and created things through those growing up years. As for sculpture, that came about because I had to take a sculpture course to fulfill the requirements for my university degree. And at that time, my husband and my young son, we lived on a dairy farm. I liked the cows very much, and I decided that they would be my models. So I continued with cows after the course was finished, and of course, this series of cows became very popular which was a surprise to me, to be quite honest. They were cast in bronze and, of course, are now in collections around the world.
That's incredible. That is really, really fantastic. You know, I'm curious, do you write the way you sculpt, or is it a completely different approach and process for you?
Well, I think I do approach writing in the same way as sculpting. First of all, both art forms require that you learn very quickly, that you must be able to let go of something if it's not working. And that's a difficult lesson. For example, I remember working on the ear of one of the cows. I worked and worked on it, but it just wasn't right, and I knew it wasn't right, but I put in so many hours on it that I just didn't want to destroy it. Except the very next morning when I went into my studio, I walked right over to that cow, and with a sculpting knife in my hand, I chopped off that ear. Now, that was a wonderful experience, a wonderful lesson, because writing and sculpting and any art form, you need to accept that you do a lot of chopping. With sculpting, you may add wax or remove wax. With writing, you add words or you remove words. I am constantly refining and rehoning both art forms.
I like that. That's fantastic. That's really, really a great way to express yourself in the essence of the writing. Your specific inspiration for actually writing books, and these books that are geared towards children. You and I were chatting before we went live on the air how children really need some positivity in their lives and some fantasy and some, there's so much reality coming at them these days. They need to have some escapism and reality, escape from reality and fantasy a little bit. Tell us about your inspirations for writing the books and the particular kinds of books you write and specialize in.
Well, I totally agree with your statement that you just made. I suppose mostly my stories, my books, come from experiences that I have had, some true and some almost true, which is wonderful because for children the almost true is wonderful. For example, I was in South Africa, and while I was traveling there, I purchased a very small, beautiful little silk teddy bear from a manufacturing company close to Johannesburg. I also bought wire and bead little African animals. And, of course, there are no real bears in Africa. And these exquisite little wire and bead African animals, they were all ready to tell that little teddy bear that he didn't belong there. And of course, there came the book, Little African Bear. My first illustrated book, Lucky Horseshoes, as you mentioned in my introduction, is about the Belgian filly that we had on our farm. And the very next morning after she was born, she fell in the irrigation canal and she almost drowned. Also, we weren't sure that her mother would accept her after that. It was a very dramatic event and certainly worthy of a story. My novels originated, I guess, in my mind after a trip to Cuba and where I came face to face with the history of pirates and probably how awful they really were. But, of course, they were driven by greed, and out of that adventure of in my mind of pirates began the Yubi series. So my experiences definitely influenced my stories.
Mm. And what an experience that is. Really fantastic. You know, being a writer really is all about being ready for those experiences that you say, hey, this could be a book, which is really incredible. And children specifically, I love that fact that you have this desire to really connect with children through your books. That's really important, isn't it?
Well, it is. I absolutely. Children very quickly can sense the sincerity, I think, in a story.
They really can, yes. And sometimes they can even, you know, smell out the truth more than adults can,
yeah.
Sometimes, because children are, you know, there's no airs about them. They're real, they're authentic, they say just about anything. You write for children also because adults are more critical. I would imagine that writing for children might be more difficult than writing for adults because you have to put yourself in a completely different mind space and you have to connect with a very different type of mind, one that's still being formed.
Yes. Yes, I that's very true. But for me, I choose to write for children because I'm very comfortable with them. I actually adore children. I was a kindergarten teacher for a number of years, and I enjoy entering their world of imagination. I love children's art, and I enjoy the way they express themselves verbally, and like you say, they're fairly black and white, very direct, very honest. And at times, I think children can free you up from a world that's complicated. So I thoroughly enjoy the world of children.
Are you still one yourself? I am. I'm just a big kid in adult clothing.
Well, aren't you lucky?
It's never lose that inner child, right? Always touch base with it once in a while. You like to do cliffhangers, too, at the end of chapters. Tell us about that.
Well, I try to have a cliffhanger at the end of each chapter because I actually want to write for children who struggle with reading. My chapter books have short sentences, and I hope that it's a fast-moving story. Also, the chapters are short and with a cliffhanger. I hope that these things help a child who struggles with reading to move forward, to move to the next page. You know, there's many bright and capable children that just simply get bogged down with learning to read, and then they become reluctant readers. For myself, I was a reluctant reader as a child, and I don't know if I've ever got over that feeling. I understand completely when reading feels like a chore, and I would like to think that I can help children with a cliffhanger, something as simple as a cliffhanger, to help them to turn the page and continue on.
Mm-hmm. That's right, exactly right. And forward movement is what it's all about. What would you say is the difference between writing for children and writing for young adults? And how do you specifically, Georgia, approach it differently for each?
Well, I'm not sure that that's a question that I can ask answer easily because my novels are written for the very youngest of YA readers, of young adult readers. I wouldn't be comfortable writing for teenagers because basically I don't think I understand teenagers these days. I just don't understand teenagers these days, so I wouldn't attempt to write for them, but I do enjoy writing for the very young YA readers.
Mm. Yeah, I like the way you specialize in that. You know, after hearing your description of writing, it sounds like sculpture in a way. You have to sculpt a sentence, you have to refine a sentence, you have to polish a sentence, and get each word in the right order, in the right place. And that's the magic that sort of unlocks a child's imagination, right? And that's something that is key, is unlocking the imagination.
Well, yes, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And of course, when you do unlock or add to a child's imagination, it's definitely a goal for a writer as myself, a writer for children. It's not always easy, but certainly when you do see the sparkle in a child's eye, the effort that you make is certainly worth it.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Tell us about some of the characters. Tell us about Tabby.
Okay, well, Tabby it is, in fact. It's because he's a tabby cat, and I spelt it differently so that it would perhaps draw more attention. It's another story that grew from one of my travel experiences, a long, long ago travel experience. A number of years ago, I was in Croatia, and we were in this city of Split, which is a beautiful ancient city on the Adriatic, and we stayed there for quite a number of days. Now, this was just after the war in Croatian-Serbia war, and each day, while we were there, we saw an older man with his cat, and he was always lingering on the seawall. And he looked sad to me, and I imagined perhaps he had been emotionally damaged by the war. I wasn't sure, but that was what I imagined. Well, we left Split for a number of days and traveled other places, and when we returned, the older man was still there, only he didn't have his cat. Now, my friend who speaks Croatian asked the old man about his cat, and the poor man said that the cat had disappeared, and he was simply heartbroken. Well, just the next day, I think it was, we had to leave Split, and I never found out if that old man ever got his cat back, and it always stayed with me, that feeling of this poor old man losing his cat. And so then about 20 years later, I started to write and illustrate the story Tabby. Now, the old man is in the story in a way. It's not his story. It's about a boy and his cat, but it is also about a boy and his cat during a war. And also, I would like to tell you that my illustrations in the book, Tabby, the illustrations are all done with just a pencil or black ink. My illustrations in Lucky Horseshoes are done just with pencil crayons. Now, I choose these because they're available to children, and I want children to realize or to hopefully see that they just need to take a pencil crayon or just one black pencil, a graphite pencil, and they can create very beautiful things. Today, many of the books for children are digitally created, but lots of children don't have access to that. So I try to use items that children can easily acquire.
And that's important, right? That's an important part of the process, isn't it?
Well, I think it is part of the process of growing and learning, and also if a child likes to draw, knowing that they can create beautiful drawings with very simple items, and perhaps expand that into a book one day, if they'd so choose.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. You know, your website is also wonderful, and you have everything sort of neatly laid out there, which I think is fantastic, from the YA books to picture books and so much more. And how does living where you live in the Vancouver area at all influence your writing? The beauty of the area, the landscape, the feeling of the area, does it at all have any influences in your art, in your work?
Well, yes, it certainly does. We get a lot of rain in Vancouver, so there's many... So there's many days that you're more or less in your home. Perhaps that's why we want to have a project. I think you think over the winter months you might need a project. If we could escape to Hawaii, I don't think you'd want to stay indoors writing or illustrating. So in that way, Vancouver influences my time for writing or for sculpting. Also, I suppose Vancouver is a beautiful city, and so visually you're always being stimulated with the colors, with the mountains, with the sea. I think those things influence you, yes, as an artist.
So, you know, when you're thinking about the background too, I mean, you taught for the Vancouver School Board as well. Tell us about that, and that having, you know, this degree in art education, how that also influences your work as a writer.
Well, I've always liked stories, and I certainly like children's books by many authors. I love picture books. I'm so amazed at the excellent art that is in a picture book. I love the magic of a pop-up book, as children do. And the mechanics of a pop-up book intrigue me. So I read a lot of stories while I was teaching, of course, to the children in my class. Or I would tell stories, and I realized that children are captivated by stories. I often use puppets, anything to capture their attention. So it just was a part of me, I think. The art was something that, as I said, I have always had since I was a child, and I incorporated that into every aspect of my work, whether it was teaching or gardening or decorating my home or in the classroom or writing.
I like that. I like the incorporation of all of that. I also would imagine when you create the characters in the books, they're almost like your children. They're almost like your own babies. You take great care in them, and you look out for them. And because a lot of authors I've spoken to, when they write the characters that they have in the books, they consider to be sort of like their children. They protect them, they care for them, they look out for them. You find that to be the case for the characters that you have in your book as well? You see them as almost like kids?
Yes. In fact, at times I think writers, and I've had this experience too, when you're trying to find those words to portray an emotion, I think there are times where I've even been a little bit tearful working at my computer, just imagining how
yeah.
that little animal or that or that little person is feeling. And yes, you do get very attached to your characters. And I believe that with all writers.
Yeah, yeah, I don't doubt it. It's, and I like the fact that you shared with us that you get emotional about it because you get attached as well. I also want to let people know that your books are now translated in Spanish and Russian as well, right?
Well, yes. Lucky Horseshoes was translated by Sylvia Chalabarde, a lovely young woman who is a translator. She didn't want to always be a technical translator, so she said to me one day, if I translate your book into Spanish, may I put it into my portfolio, because I would like to become a translator for creative writers. And that's how that came about. With Tabby, which is now translated into Russian, although it's waiting to be published right now, the man who formatted the book for me, Sergei Rogoshnikov, he is fluent in English. He lives in St. Petersburg, Russia. And he and his wife have a family, and they read my story to them. And, of course, in reading it, they had to translate it into Russian for their children. And so Anna, Sergei's wife, offered to do a formal translation of the story Tabby, which, of course, I'm delighted about. I'm just absolutely thrilled about this. I'm thrilled about the book Lucky Horseshoes being available to the Spanish-speaking children. The journey that I've had with my books have been wonderful because I've met so many nice and interesting people in the world of formatting or publishing, or in one case, UBN The Blue-Tailed Rat, which is now available in an audiobook, the reading was done by a woman by the name of Judith Leach, and she put voices to my characters. Well, I was in the studio while she was doing that, and it was just amazing to hear the my characters have these voices.
Great. I want to let folks know Georgia Hunter Book. That's G E O G G-E-O-R-I, let's say that again, G-E-O-R-G-I-A, and then the word hunterandbooks.com is the website. And that half hour flew by in a New York minute.
Oh.
So great to have you with us. Appreciate it, Georgia, and hope we get a chance to chat some more here on the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you so, so much.
You are very, very welcome. You take care and keep up the amazing work, and hopefully we'll chat some more down the line. And thanks so much for being my guest today on Close Up Radio. Again, if you'd like to know more about her incredible books, folks, again, Georgia Hunter or Georgia Hunter Books, go to GeorgiaHunterBooks.com. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We'll be back with another great guest coming up on the next episode of Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, thanks for being with us. You have a terrific day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.